light up here this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. As we navigate through these days, the Lord's strength is with us. And never before in my life have I been in a place where I needed God's knowledge at such a high level right now. The title of today's message is Fallible Knowledge. Fallible Knowledge. It's not a word we focus in on a lot, but what does that word fallible mean? And that word fallible means liable or liable to err, imperfect. And another way of stating that word fallible is human. We as humans are fallible. We can miss it. We can make mistakes. We are not the truth. Only God is the truth. And we've been doing a devotional study throughout this week that talks about guarding truth. And it reminds us that we live in a post-truth world. Does truth matter to people today? And then maybe a better way of saying that, whose truth do we believe? Because it seems like people have truth that is comfortable to them, so they will label it what I believe. But fallible knowledge is dangerous knowledge. Or not recognizing its fallibility is dangerous. Today, truth is whatever you want it to be in our culture. If it feels right to me, then it must be what? My truth. And we recognize this as Satan, the father of what? Lies. Prepares the way for the coming of the Antichrist. The culture of lies is clearly present before us. You know, Jesus let us know that that spirit of the Antichrist was already walking upon the earth. But it would intensify as time neared his return. And in that intensifying, lies would be acceptable like never before. And we live in a time where people lie all the time and call it truth. But here's the good news. The church is called to guard truth. And who is the church? We are the church. And God has placed a responsibility on us to guard truth. Now, I know what you might be saying. Who am I to guard truth? You are a child of God. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you are more than worthy to be a deposit for God's truth. Not to just dwell there, but to guard it for others. If you have your Bibles with you today, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 20, we read Paul's encouragement to Timothy in how he should view this big, tremendous responsibility of guarding the truth. O Timothy, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. Turn away from worldly and godless chatter. Can somebody say amen? Amen. It's a whole lot of chatter going on. With its profane and empty words and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Because just because I call it knowledge doesn't mean that it is infallible. Just because I state that it is wisdom doesn't mean that it is wisdom. So he's warning Timothy. First of all, he's warning Timothy that in the church, people are going to make stuff up. People that are given the titles of being teachers within the church are going to make some stuff up. And he says, Timothy, guard truth. But we know this, people make up stuff in and out of the church. But how much more important the truth that we present to people, that it is truly the truth and not something that just feels right to us. O Timothy, another way of pronouncing that today is, O church, you guardians of truth. Guard truth, keep safe the truth entrusted to you. Verse 21. And I'm just going to step back in verse 20. O Timothy, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. Turn away from worldly and godless chatter with its profane and empty words and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and by doing so, listen to this carefully, and by doing so have erred, missed the mark, sinned, and strayed from the faith. Grace be with you. The way we hold to truth will determine our longevity in truth. Let me put it this way. The truth that we embrace, if it is not the truth of God, it sets us up for a fall. The truth is unshakable knowledge. The truth will not let us down. The truth is where we have placed our feet without fear that it's going to let us down. The truth of God is consistent and solid. Unshakable knowledge is built upon an infallible source. Now, knowledge is very personal to us because what we call is wisdom and what we call is knowledge, we are going to talk about. And we are going to really present it and let it be known. But what we have to be so guarded of is the source of our knowledge. Is it truly an infallible source? Is the knowledge that you allow to live within you, and this sounds very simplistic, is it true or false? Now you say, Pastor, why would you ask a question like that? Because why would I call it knowledge if it's false? But here's the thing that we must be so guarded about, especially in a culture, a world that is lying to us right and left. Do you recognize the fallible nature of the knowledge that seeks to encompass your life? Think about that for a minute. Do you recognize that which you call is knowledge, the fallibility of the things that we sometimes trust in? If we fail to see the fallibility of the truth that we trust in, we become vulnerable to the father of lies. I want to mention this. Satan is a manipulator. And liars normally do what? Manipulate. They have a will behind their lies. Their lies want to seek in some fashion to control us. And you know, God looks at our minds as a very precious gift. And he even tells us we need to guard our minds. We need to make sure we have the mind of Christ, the only one who is the infallible truth, Christ. We have to be careful what we choose or who we choose to be our source of truth. Is the source of your truth, and I'm speaking to myself as well, is the source of your truth infallible? It's a question right now. Where I've planted my feet, the choices that I've made, the positions that I've made, the knowledge that I call and I allow to live in me, the simple question is, the source that we call truth, is it infallible? Do you trust in fallible knowledge? To guard the truth, we must guard the knowledge we trust in. Look again at verse 20. Paul knew he was going to be limited on his time on earth. So Timothy was his apprentice. Timothy was a youngster that Paul knew, you know, I'm going to die. Don't know when. People are trying to kill me anyway. And I'm going to leave this deposit that God has placed in me. I, through the power of God in me and also in Timothy. Timothy's going to carry this thing forward. Paul had been manipulated by lies. Paul knew what it was like when people got power and they tried to use it against him. He had seen the system of religion in the Pharisees, and he had tasted the burn of fallible truth. And here he's going to Timothy, and he's telling him, "Oh, Timothy, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. Turn away from worldly and godless chatter, which is profane, empty words, and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Timothy, you are the deposit for God's truth." How do you think that made Timothy feel? Because that is something that the church, if we don't recognize the responsibility, we'll just cast it off. We won't be careful about what lives in these hearts and in these minds. I want to show you something real quick this morning. I think I brought it out here. Let's see. You know what? It's one of those mornings. It's one of those mornings. Put it on the slide for a minute. I will. That's a good thing. Got it. That wasn't too many more steps, was it? Now, can you see that? I'm going to make sure that. Can they see that okay? All right. Now, what did I hear out? I heard somebody say, oh. Well, one of the things during this crazy season, right? This crazy season we're in right now. Somebody said, you need to stock up a little bit on food. And I like protein. I like meat. And somebody told me spam is meat, right? And so going to the grocery store to get different items that I knew could be shelf stable for a long time, I bought spam probably for the first time in my life. And my son, I was telling him about it, my son Benjamin in Phoenix, and I said, I bought some spam. And you know what he said? He didn't say, how did you say that again? He didn't say that. Well, see, because in the eye of the beholder, right? He told me, he said, Dad, have you ever cooked it with eggs? And I said, no. He says, it's really good. And my son, Benjamin, he's like a chef. He loves cooking. And if it wasn't good, he would tell you. So I'm looking at this can of spam. Now, hold on a minute. I think spam knows the criticism that's out there. And on this can, it says, Glorious Spam. And it's a little soldier, a little knight on there. It says, Glorious Spam. Well, the devil, the enemy, the father of lies, wants to make us feel we're not worthy to be a deposit of truth. Serious. Who am I? I'm like spam. Made up of a bunch of stuff. I don't even know, just stuff. But you know what? You are valuable and precious to God. And you are his child, worthy of the deposit of his truth. The sad thing is when the enemy makes us feel that, you know what? What can you do? You can be a deposit of truth. You can keep safe what is coming upon the hearts, not only of your family, but others. You are glorious because Jesus lives in you. And you are worthy to be a deposit of truth. Now, I got this for a reason. Didn't Spam used to have like a key that you took off and you went around? But they've gotten fancy now. It's a pop top. But this is a special, special. Yeah. That's right. This thing will probably stay. Spam will probably stay fresh until Jesus comes back, right? Yeah. But this is a special, special can of Spam. This can of Spam is made to be a deposit. At the bottom of this can of Spam, is a little compartment. And it's hollow inside, and it don't smell like Spam. It's a safe for you to put valuables in so that if anybody breaks in your house, you put things that matter to you in here. I mean good things. I'm not meaning ugly things now. And you put it inside the deposit. And who's going to steal Spam, right? Who's going to steal Spam? I won't give that to you. All right. The deposit. Don't let anyone ever call you unworthy of the deposit of God's truth. And once you recognize the call of truth that is destined for your heart, it's a responsibility. Oh, Timothy, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. Turn away from worldly and godless chatter with its profane, empty words and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. You are a deposit of God's truth. And truth is like water in a desert in this time. I want to look at fallible sources of knowledge. Y'all ready to go there? We're going to look at a few fallible sources of knowledge that all of us in here are vulnerable to, and they're things that we must manage. So the world is filled with lies. And one of the first fallible sources of knowledge I want to look at today is this scary term, news media. News media. Years ago, and help me, raise your hand if you know who I'm talking about when I say this. And be honest, that you really, really know, and you know their tagline that they have. Remember a guy by the name of Walter Cronkite? Remember him? Remember Walter Cronkite? You know, he distinguished-looking guy. Great mustache even, too. He could pull that off. Walter Cronkite, and when he finished his 30-minute news, I think he was what, CBS maybe? When he would finish his news cast every weeknight, he finished it this way. Yep, very strong voice. And he would say this, and that's the way it is. That's how he would end every broadcast. Everything that he presented, he would finish his night, say, and that's the way it is. And I remember as a kid, my dad, news time, you better hush. Because he'd come home, he'd want to catch up on the news. And if I was talking, my brother was talking, my dad would say, hush. And it meant hush. It meant be quiet. Because back then, you didn't have a DVR where you could skip back to hear what the man said. You got 30 minutes of news and that was it. But let me mention this aspect. Even in the days of Walter Cronkite, there was an investigation by our government or by the Congress. And they looked into a CIA operation called Operation Mockingbird. Now, this is way back. I think it was in the 70s. And it was an investigation that went like this. The Central Intelligence Agency of our country, they were suspected of having anchormen, reporters that were given instructions of what to tell the people and how people should believe. Okay? This is back in the 70s. And when they were asked, are you connected to the CIA? And it came out to be true. Now, we're going way back, but we know this. News media has an agenda sometimes that's not always for our best. And I even heard a quote the other day from a current news anchor, and it went this way. We are to tell people how to think. Okay? And let me just put it out very plain. If I have one source for my news, I am a very vulnerable person. And when I say one source, if I am listening to one group for information for how I should process or navigate to what is real, I am extremely vulnerable. And so my encouragement today, recognize news is what? Fallible. News is used in certain situations to navigate us to places that people of power want us to be. And you know what? It ain't always that's the way it is. It's not. And here's the hope. God is a God of discernment for us. He makes us people of discernment. And if we camp at just a few groupings, get ready, because what is pronounced as truth to us will navigate our perspective and our heart, and it can be detrimental. But today we kind of look around and we see lies are kind of like normal. Lies are things that are put out with no shame. And it doesn't matter facts anymore, does it? Just how I feel about it. You know this, once we hear something, we'll comment like this. We'll say, they say, right? How many of us have been guilty? They say. I mean, come on, I'm guilty. That what they say. And I like how you say this. They. First of all, identify who they is. And question, we should be people that seek discernment more than we seek the things that we want to hear. And then let's go to another one. This is uncomfortable, but we need to talk about it. Fallible sources. Government. Government seeks to get us to think a certain way. But I don't want government to set my parameters of truth. I want God to set that. And that's okay to question authority. In fact, please hear this. When I preach a sermon, question what I say by the word of God. And anybody that doesn't want you to question what they say, they have a power trip that's out of control. Test and see. And then, to bring it this way, there's no government of man that I want to make my normal. None. No man is worthy to make my normal. Because man is fallible and fallen, and man will not make my normal. Guard who makes your normal, our normal. Another fallible source of knowledge, and this isn't trying to be mean, it's just being honest. Another fallible source of knowledge is education. And a simple way of putting that is who writes the textbook? Is that fair to say? Whose agenda is behind the knowledge that is presented? I remember my son did some different online courses when he was in high school. And he would come to me and he says, Dad, they're asking questions that if I answer them the way that I perceive it, they'll fail me. And I said, well, son, I said, I want you to get out of high school. So you know what he did? And what he did? He answered not to what his truth was, but he answered it according to the truth of who wrote the textbook and who was quizzing. So here's the thing. God is not the author of confusion, is he? No. And if we blindly go into textbooks, not evaluating who the author is, we set ourselves up for a whole lot of concern and a whole lot of trouble. In fact, I heard this about a year or so ago. Some of the largest supporters to medical textbooks are pharmaceutical companies. Okay? And that's not a lie, that's just truth. So if pharmaceutical companies are the ones who support the ones that are writing textbooks, then what is going to be highlighted as the choice? Nutrition? No. Eating better? No. Pills, things that we can buy. Just guard. Education is wonderful and beautiful as long as we seek to know the source. And then, hey, let's get close to home here. Another fallible source of knowledge is religion. Religion is probably one of the most manipulated sources or institutions ever known to man. Because religion seeks, in many cases, to guide people not to the will of God, but to the will of what their heart is. Fallible sources, religious institutions are fallible. And let me just bring it closer to home. Any pastor that is honest is going to tell you that his words are what? Fallible. They can be misguided. They can be incorrect. But we have a safety net. We have the word of God to test the spirit. We are a deposit of godly truth. We're not the author. So when you see the pastor start getting real prideful and start telling you exactly how you need to step and go, and you look at it and you say, well, I don't see that fully in Scripture. I don't see that. Believe the word more than you believe the man. Fallible sources of knowledge. Another one, again, this isn't to be insult, but science. Science. That word has almost taken the place of the name of what? God. I believe in what? Science. You ever heard that? Well, let's look at this for a minute. Science is a quest and a study for knowledge. Isn't that good? And I respect the heart of people that seek to know knowledge. But what happens is, when science begins to seek knowledge without seeking the one who created knowledge, the one who is knowledge. When did the authority of science become higher than the authority of God? It's fair to say. What a gift to be given to say, you look and study the elements of creation, how God weaved and put this all together, and tell us about how marvelous his hand is. But the problem is trying to go into science and try to expel God from creation. It's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. Science is the study of all that God has created. Don't ever let anyone intimidate your faith in God by telling you you're not scientific. Science at its very heart is a celebration of the knowledge of that which God has displayed all around us. How can we live in this beautiful world and take God out of the equation? How can we do that? But we do. I look at the beauty of God's creation. I look at like a branch with its uniqueness. Just the branch. And I realize that branch has no one like it. The way those leaves are displayed on that branch, there's no other one like it. I look at the mountain ranges and I see this beautiful display of God's handiwork, and I realize there's no other mountain ever that looked like that. Because God's a God who makes masterpieces. And just like you, there's no one else like you. No one. Even if you are an identical twin, there's difference. God is all about displaying his beauty so that we don't deny him, but we honor him. And then I want to look at a few other fallible sources of knowledge. My feelings. Feelings are strong, right? Well, that's how I what? Feel about it. That's some concrete planting of our feet. That's how I what? Feel about it. You ever been up against somebody's feelings? It's some heavy, heavy stuff. It's a brick wall sometimes. But guess what? Regardless of how good our intentions are, regardless of how, even how faithful we're walking before God, our feelings are fallible. And the more we recognize that, the safer we will be in this life. And it's not just our feelings that are fallible, but our opinion is fallible as well. You know, be careful of the entrenchment of position. Be careful of the entrenchment of feelings, because they're powerful. And they'll glue our feet down to a place where we're not supposed to be. But we'll stay there. Why? Because it's my feelings. It's my opinion. Cam, I'm going to share with you a story. When I was a little guy, is when I was in middle school, they came up with this invention called super glue. Now, you guys grew up with it, so y'all, no big deal. But for me, it was super. And in middle school, what do you think happened? Somebody would bring it and say, come here, let me put that on your fingers. And what would we do? Just hold it together. And I still remember the first time they got me. I was like, oh, no. It wouldn't come apart. And it was such a scary thing. I remember throughout that whole class working my fingers to try to get it to come apart. Who had ever heard of such a thing like that? That glue could actually hold your fingers together and you weren't going to easily get them apart. So what did I do, Cam? What did I do? I came home after I bought me some super glue. Maybe a friend at school gave me a little tube. And I said, Daddy, come here a minute. And he says, what? I said, let me put that on your finger. He says, okay. You're crazy when you're in middle school, right? And I said, Daddy, hold your fingers together now. And what did I do? I split and went down and hung out with some friends down the road. I came in about 2-3 hours later. My mama met me at the door. What have you done? And I'm like, Mama, what have you done? Your dad is still in the bathroom trying to get his fingers unstuck. Thank the Lord for grace because my daddy didn't kill me. But once it's fixed, it isn't easily released. And my feelings and my opinion will bring an adhesive that some people never release to the truth of God. How about this? My position. It's my position. That's my camp. That's where I'm at. In fact, we will have positions that we celebrate stronger than we celebrate God. Why? Because of our heart. Fallible sources, my feelings, my opinion, my position is fallible. The only unshakable ground is the foundation of God's word. And you know God's word has a name? Jesus Christ. Now, we can live in this world and buy into this lie that Jesus is not the word. We can buy into this lie that he needs our help to edit his word and to present it in a way that people can swallow, digest. No, no. Jesus' truth is presented by the power of his Holy Spirit that lives in us. And it does not need us sanding the edges to present it. It is perfect. The word of God is perfect. You know, through this study that we've been doing on our weekly devotions, it's been a blessing to me, and I hope it has been to others. It's caused us to come into times of growing. And I specifically chose a study that would stretch me a little, you know, even more. Because, you know, I'm not Mr. Academic. But I said, let's do a study that maybe we may have to have a dictionary around to look up some of the words, right? Is that okay to do? And so thank God I have a dictionary app. And there were a couple of words in there. I'm like, now I can make up what I think that is or go to the dictionary. And the goal of the guy who wrote this devotion wasn't to show off his academic ability, because that is a problem for me. Just because you know a word and you want to throw it out there to show me how I should have read more, that's not cool. But it's who God made him to be. And so in these studies that we've gone through, stretching, broadening, growing, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I won't do one like that next time, I promise. But it was good. You just got to slow down and read through it. Knowledge is a beautiful thing when we know what it's built upon. The only unshakable ground is the foundation of God's word. The word is Jesus Christ. In what authority do these sources of knowledge depend on? That's the fact. The news anchor that tells me how I should think. And that was a statement. We tell people how to think. I'm sorry. No, you don't. And if you do, shame on what? Shame on me. And here's the craziness. Remember I mentioned Walter Cronkite? There were three networks. And maybe you throw a little PBS in there. And that was it. That was it. 30 minutes, that was it. And then people read the newspaper. But again, most people in a state have one major newspaper or a couple. And that was it. Nowadays, people say, well, it's bad that there's so many sources. No, it's not. It just means we need to be more mindful of what we allow our trust to be in, and then we must never lose this fact. People, intentionally and unintentionally, will lie to us. And if I hold my hand up as guilty as anybody, if I only choose the voices that ring to my feeling, ring to my opinion, and ring to my position, woe is me. We're living in times right now. Discernment is so critical. And the church of Jesus Christ will not be manipulated by any man no matter what his power is in his mind. Nebuchadnezzar, no, no. Pharisee, no, no. The truth of God's word will guide us. And when he looks at you, just like you look at your precious babies, somebody lying to them, you better look out. Candy is coming in. Someone misguide them. I've seen this mama rise up in some meetings with teachers. I was like, oh. God's a guard for us. And he don't like it when his people are lied to. He is the source. Knowledge is based on a trusted truth. And this is something we must not forget. Truth rests upon an authority. Always. Truth rests upon an authority. Who is the authority of the truth that you trust in, that I trust in? Timothy guarded the truth that we trust in today. Can we say thank you, Timothy? That deposit carried forth and we celebrate it today. We are protected because Timothy was what? Faithful. Paul was faithful unto death. We are protected. Each generation of the church has the responsibility to guard truth and to hand it down to the next generation unadulterated. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Truth is a generation away from being demised and lost? And let me put it this way. God's word is eternal. Okay? But my word that I pass on to my son will be affected in just one generation. For if I live before him a standard that is outside of the heart of God, I pass that standard on to him. And the possibility of that is a decline in the purity of the gospel. Now, I'm fallible. I mess up. He knows it. Just don't amen me right now. He understands it. And the cool thing that I enjoy so much about Austin seeks the Holy Ghost. He does. Austin seeks to know God more than he knows Daddy. Because sometimes I'm like, Austin. And that's good. That's what you want from your children. You want to see them with the purity of the authority of God guiding them, even beyond how righteous we can be, self-righteous as parents. Each generation of the church has the responsibility to guard truth and to hand it down to the next generation unadulterated. What does that mean? Not tainted, not filled with my opinion, my position, my feelings, not manipulated by what the press is telling me I should think or the government is telling me I should think. We are precious. You say, I feel like spam right now, you know? And how dare the government call people non-essential? How sick is that? We are all essential in the eyes of God. We are all of his value. And we will not be labeled by any man. Oh, Timothy, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. Oh, church, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to what? You. Turn away from worldly and godless chatter with its profane and empty words and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. We live in a post-truth world, meaning that truth is what people just want to call it. In fact, I set the definition for truth. But in this time, the church is called, as it has been from its existence, the church is called to guard truth. Unshakable knowledge is built upon an infallible source. And who is that source? Jesus. Jesus. He's infallible. And so we, in this mix of all these authorities that come to us, it's okay. That's part of being in the world. But remember this, though we are in this world, we are not of the world. So it means that our definition of truth is of a higher standard. And God has made it so clear, it's going to be personal. Meaning, it's going to live in your heart. Because his spirit of truth lives in you. And it will propel you, it will calibrate your heart every day. Because every day, we need to be realigned so that we can walk as guards of truth and deposits of the godly truth that is entrusted to us. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion together. And we have asked our folks at Zoom to have elements ready. Today, as I step over here to the communion table, those that would like to participate in communion, I ask that you just come and receive the elements, and then just open them and just go back to your seat so that we can partake together. But let us prepare our hearts for this time of honor and remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done. Six. After the warning from Paul came and the assignment from Paul came, don't believe in what is falsely called knowledge.